Across the continent of seven cities, an ancient prophecy stirs to life. The Book of Dryjana, a sacred text foretelling apocalypse, makes its way toward the rebel leader Shaik, igniting a powder keg of tension. The native peoples, who've preserved their traditions under decades of Malazan imperial rule, feel the desert goddess awakening, her promised storm ready to scour away foreign influence. Against this volatile backdrop, we follow several groups navigating the brewing chaos. Fiddler and Kalam, veterans of the elite bridge burners, escort a young woman named Apsalar home, though Kalam harbors a deadlier mission, assassinating Empress Lassine for betraying their military company. Meanwhile, the holy desert Raraku pulses with supernatural energy as shapeshifters called Solataken and divers gather, seeking a mystical path to godhood. The rebellion erupts with shocking brutality. Centuries of suppressed resentment explode into violence against anyone associated with the empire. Cities become battlegrounds, communities transform into armed camps. What makes this uprising so compelling isn't just the scale of violence, but how it reveals the deep wounds left by colonization. How imperial control always rests on fragile foundations of resentment and cultural suppression. Nothing in fantasy literature matches the emotional devastation of the Chain of Dogs. During the Seven Cities Rebellion, Fist Coltane leads 30,000 Malazan refugees across hostile desert toward Arran, with Imperial historian Duker chronicling their journey. Surrounded by enemies with dwindling supplies, Coltane's tactical genius shines. At Vathar Crossing, his engineers build a submerged road that lures enemies into munition traps. When desert spirits threaten, young warlocks Nil and Nether sacrifice their warhorses in blood rituals to bind these powers. The toll grows heavier with each league. Children die of thirst, veterans sacrifice themselves, and refugees transform into survivors. When Captain Lull questions how people endure such horror, Duker offers only sleight of hand, those small moments of humanity that allow continuation. What begins as military necessity becomes sacred, earning respect even from enemies. Yet in fantasy's most gut-wrenching scene, upon reaching side of Arran's walls, Coltane and his soldiers are betrayed and crucified within view of safety. A tragedy immortalized in songs across the empire. Felicin Perrin undergoes one of the narrative's most brutal transformations. When her sister Tavor becomes adjunct, she condemns her family to the Otaro mines. We meet Felicin stripped of status, chained, and marched through Anta amid violent mobs, protected only by convict Baden and ex-priest Heberic. She responds to trauma by using her body as currency and numbing pain with narcotics, telling herself survival is simply a matter of turning pain into pleasure. Through self-destruction, she builds emotional armor while manipulating those around her, including a mind boss who both protects and exploits her. After escaping through an underwater passage, Felicin's group crosses the Otateral Desert, discovering strange jade fingers in the sand. They eventually reach Raraku, where Felicin finds the body of Shaik, the prophesied rebellion leader. In a pivotal moment, Felicin allows herself to be reborn as Shaik, accepting the whirlwind goddess's power. As she summons a massive column of golden dust, she transforms from discarded noble to apocalyptic leader, vowing vengeance against her sister. Mappo Runt, a philosophical trail warrior, guards Icarium, a half-jag immortal who suffers perpetual amnesia following his violent episodes. Their friendship conceals a devastating truth. Icarium's berserker rage has destroyed entire civilizations. Ancient ruins across continents stand as evidence of his power, yet afterward he remembers nothing. The Nameless Ones appointed Mappo as guardian, continuing a millennia-old tradition. Daily, Mappo balances genuine affection with necessary deception, especially when Icarium encounters sophisticated devices he created thousands of years earlier. Their journey takes them to Iskaral Pust's temple, where they join Fiddler's group searching for Tremorlore, an Azath house that imprisons powerful beings. Learning this, Ikariam decides to surrender himself, unaware of his condition. When Mappo finally reveals everything, Ikariam responds with acceptance and gratitude. Their friendship, despite impossible circumstances, endures through genuine love. Throughout the novel, supernatural forces converge on Raraku in what Erikson calls a convergence, when power attracts power. This manifests through the path of hands drawing shapeshifters seeking ascension, and the fragmented warren at Tremorlore attracting those seeking passage through the Azath network. The shapeshifters rank among the novel's most terrifying antagonists. Grillin, manifesting as thousands of rats, pursues Fiddler's group relentlessly, while Mesrum, a bear Solataken, reveals their tragic nature before falling to the Azath. They show how power transforms seekers, often destroying their humanity. The magical systems display exceptional world-building. Warrens, pathways of magical energy, include specialized domains like Denul, healing, and Mianus, shadow, while elder warrens represent primal forces predating human civilization. Accessing these powers risks encounters with incomprehensible entities. At Tremorlore, Fiddler's group battles desperate shapeshifters to reach the Azath house, where dangerous entities are imprisoned in living roots. The house contains portals connecting to Azath houses across countless worlds. Gods interact directly with mortals, while ascendants approach godhood, suggesting godhood is simply another form of transformation with its own costs. Against a backdrop of rebellion, Kalam's assassination mission unfolds as a political thriller. The former bridge burner delivers the Book of Dryzhna to Shaik while secretly planning to kill Empress Lysine. Through Kalam's journey, we see the Empire's complex socio-political landscape. His encounter with Captain Keneb's traumatized family, survivors of Malazan betrayal, demonstrates how military treachery devastates both soldiers and civilians. The rebellion fractures loyalties, pitting Malazan against Malazan. The human cost manifests in overflowing refugee camps, opportunistic militias, and military units turned bandits. Imperial policies have created competing interests among merchants, religious factions, and ambitious commanders. In Malaz City, Kalam faces deadly claw assassination squads in alleyways turned lethal maze, using his intimate knowledge of their tactics to survive. The plot climaxes when Kalam confronts what appears to be Empress Lysine, actually a magical projection. Her justifications reveal pragmatic ruthlessness, where the bridge burner's decimation was merely collateral damage in a larger strategy, elevating the examination of power beyond simple moral judgments. Deadhouse Gates concludes with Empire's devastating cost. The Chain of Dogs ends when High Fist Pormqual, manipulated by Malak Rel, orders his soldiers to surrender. All are crucified along Arryn Way, a three-league line of suffering called the Day of Pure Blood. Duker, witness to the entire Chain of Dogs, becomes the final victim. His crucifixion symbolizes the silencing of historical truth as the Empire refuses to face its failures. Yet hope emerges. In the epilogue, a pregnant Wiccan widow learns her child has no soul. As she prepares to drink poison, a massive flock of crows appears, the same that carried away Coltane's body. Her unborn child stirs for the first time, suggesting Coltane's soul has found rebirth. This tension between despair and hope defines the novel. It reveals humanity's worst while showcasing transcendent courage. How individual choices matter against imperial ambition, and how compassion persists even as empires crumble.